It's good to be together again today, isn't it? And when we left off yesterday, we'd come to the end of verse 3 of John chapter 12. In the scene described for us by the Apostle John, we join him, the other disciples, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, as well as Simon, the former leper, and Jesus at Simon's home. They're all there to celebrate Jesus and to thank him and praise him for such compassionate and miraculous ministry, like curing this man Simon of his leprosy and raising Lazarus from the dead. Honoring Jesus Christ. I just wonder, as we begin today, how do you, dear Christian, celebrate what he has done for you? Have you ever hosted a dinner party and invited the testimonies of other believers around the table with tasty food and drink? Might I suggest that for this weekend, a talk with your dinner guests about what Jesus has done in your lives. That's a practical way to worship him in your home. We who love Jesus tend to get trapped into thinking that worship is what we do Sunday mornings in our church services. As the instruments play and the worship leader directs us, we sing our praises to God. But that's only one expression of the believer's worship to God. If you're reserving your worship of the Holy One for Sunday mornings only, then I invite you to seriously consider in what other ways you can tell of his excellent ways and lift your heart and soul to him in adoration for who God is. As we have seen in John 12, verses 1 through 3, the earliest followers of Jesus exalted him around the supper table. We can too. So please, in your own life, consider doing so. Follow the example set here in the Gospel of John. And with that being said, let's return to John 12 at verses 4 and 5. I'm reading now John chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. And after reading this, I'll make comments placing these verses in context. Are you ready to hear God's very word to you now? John 12 at verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Sounds like a fair question, right? That Judas, he just has such a heart for the poor. But not so fast. There is a little but very profound three-letter word at the start of verse 4 that you need to hear emphasized. It is the word but. B-U-T. But. But Judas Iscariot. By using this little conjunction, the writer John intends to sharply contrast what Mary has done for Jesus in verse 3, her devotion to the Lord, with the opinion of Judas in verse 4. His distaste for the Lord. This is distaste versus devotion. And I hope you do remember Mary's bold action in verse 3. Let me read it for you, just in case you can't quite remember what she said. John 12, verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We talked about that in detail yesterday. We're talking with one another about differing responses to Jesus here at the start of the final week of his earthly life and ministry. And in Matthew chapter 26, we talked about Caiaphas, the Christ killer. He hated Jesus and was always a thorn in Christ's flesh. But then this week, we came to Mary of Bethany, and she emerges as a rose to the Christ. Here in John 12, she pours forth the perfume over his whole body in admiration for who he is. And yet, right on the heels, that is, the very next verse, this man Judas Iscariot breaks in and utters the first words that the Bible records him speaking. Yes, the first words out of the mouth of Judas that we read in a timeline of when they were spoken are right here in John 12, verse 5, and he says, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now, how do I know these words are reflective of a response to Jesus that is one of strong distaste for Christ? Well, let's keep reading. Listen now to verse 6 of John 12. This is John chapter 12, verse 6. "Now, Judas said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it." Aha! This is a fine detail. Judas is a thief. Remember that we also discussed previously the estimates on how much this perfume of Mary's was worth. And Mark, chapter 14 and verse 5, says it was worth over 300 denarii. And so when Judas sees an opportunity at 300 denarii, more than a year's wages, he is ticked off that the perfume was, in his view, wasted on Jesus' body. This is the motivation of his corrupt heart. Mary, I could have had that money for myself. We must understand this. When Judas says the perfume could have been sold and money given to the poor, this is not an admirable statement made from the motivation to help the poor. No, he's driven by his own greed. Listen to Bible commentator Colin Cruz. Quote, Judas's approval of Mary's action related not to loss of opportunity to do more for the poor, but to his own loss of opportunity to steal from the common purse. I'll repeat that because it is so well said. Judas's disapproval of Mary's action related not to loss of opportunity to do more for the poor, but to his own loss of opportunity to steal from the common purse. You see, the motivation of Judas is dark, not bright. It is evil, not good. It is meant not to honor the poor, but to dishonor the Christ. And that is exactly why Jesus speaks firmly in the next two verses. Hear now the words of Jesus in John chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Did you hear Jesus there? Let her alone. The Lord quickly and defiantly defends his disciple Mary. In other words, stop, Judas. I know the true motivation behind your sweet-sounding words. Jesus calls out Judas and the other disciples for the way they dishonor Jesus by seeming to side with the poor. The point here is not that Jesus is against serving the poor, neither is Mary. When you read Jesus and watch Jesus in the Gospels, it will be abundantly clear to you that he loves and he constantly serves the poor. And this is in keeping with his divine nature. Listen to what God says to us directly about service to the poor. Proverbs 14, verse 31. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. On a Friday, tired as you likely are, let me repeat the word of God. Proverbs 14, verse 31. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. Do you want to honor God? Then it's simple. Be gracious to the needy, give to the poor, and serve them. Now you say, I am the poor. Fair enough. But there is always someone poorer than you. Be gracious to him or her. That's the message from God, and Jesus perfectly and in every way obeyed his Father. So I say it again. Jesus is not against giving 300 or so denarii to those who have not. But he is opposed to picking on Mary because he knows why Judas is saying this. He sees through to the motivation of the dark heart of Judas. In John 12, verse 8, Jesus has said, "You do not always have me." I'll just insert here in our study of this passage that these are prophetic words. Jesus is once again telling this group at Simon's house, "I am going to die." Jesus is predicting his own crucifixion, which is now just a few days away. This is his final week with them in the flesh. In other words, you need to prioritize me over even the poor. Christ, as always, both then and now, is more important than the poor, because Jesus reigns and rules supreme over all people, the rich and the poor and everyone in between. We are all subject to him. And so let us not be like Judas and try to, in a very smooth manner, make ourselves look good by doing good deeds for the poor, even giving a large sum of money, all the while with such strong distaste for Jesus Christ. I've met people like this in churches. They do not love Jesus. They do not even have genuine saving faith in him. But they are being very philanthropic, giving generously and even large sums of money to, quote, help those less fortunate. But even though they give their gifts via the church, they honor not the Lord of the church. They give to make themselves look good and to get a tax-deductible receipt. Let's monitor the motivations of our own hearts. Let's be aware that sometimes we think, just like Judas Iscariot. Wow. Okay, that clock is moving very fast today. I cannot believe how quickly time is escaping us. There's still so much I want to say, so I will have to carry over this conversation into Monday. By going further in John 12 today and meeting Judas, I am not launching us into an in-depth look at him just yet. We will get to him. I have more to say about the Lord's betrayer. But the reason I have mentioned him today is to contrast Mary to Judas. Mary has been our focus this week, and I hope you see why I say that she's like a rose to Christ. Caiaphas hated Jesus. Mary loved Jesus. And Judas betrayed Jesus. Mary is the rose between two thorns. And next week, I'll start off saying a little more about her, and then we'll talk about Judas. So please come back on Monday, prepared to continue in the Gospels as we meet with Jesus on the week of his pending crucifixion. Today, I'll leave you with the words of one of my favorite Bible commentators, F.B. Meyer. Here's what he wrote of this Mary. And could Mary ever forget that Jesus had summoned her brother from the grave? There was no doubt about the strong, pure love of her heart to Jesus, the man. But shining through this, as light through air, was the devout reverence of the believer Mary to the Savior, of the servant Mary to the Lord. Join me again on Monday, for God is...